Herald of Truth, program number 162.
Many people take marriage very lightly. They enter marriage without a full realization of what is involved. Some time ago, I saw a cartoon which pictured a large downtown Gothic-style church building through whose front doors there emerged a young couple just married. The bride was dressed in the usual formal bridal gown. The husband was dressed in the usual wedding suit. As they rushed away to start their honeymoon, the bride turned to the groom and said, "Harry, what did you say our last name is?" Although this is overdrawn to the point of humor, there's a good bit of truth beneath the surface. In a moment, I should like to talk with you about getting ready for marriage.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. I cause thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow.
For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress.
The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never, I'll firm a foundation.
This is Herald of Truth. Welcome to another program and to another message from Batsel Barrett Baxter. Mr. Baxter is head of the Department of Bible at David Lipscomb College in Nashville, Tennessee. He's also minister of the Hillsboro Church of Christ in Nashville. Mr. Baxter's subject for this hour is getting ready for marriage. And now, here is Batsel Barrett Baxter.
Getting ready for marriage means far more than reading a manual relating to certain of its physical aspects. When a man and woman are united in marriage, they enter into a life contract which must not be violated. It's to be entered into neither lightly nor inadvisedly. It's incredible to me that one should be schooled for 15 to 20 years to qualify for business or the professions, while spending almost no time at all in preparation for marriage. The future of our country and the future of the church depend upon stalwart Christian homes, consecrated Christian families, and the exaltation of the Christian principles concerning marriage, parenthood, and the home. The application of biblical principles is in accordance with the best results of sociological research, as has been demonstrated in countless homes. Our Christian faith is the greatest guarantee of the attainment of the highest possible happiness in marriage. It was God who made the race male and female. It was God who commanded, "Be fruitful and multiply." It was God who said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet for him." It was God who brought the bride to her husband in the first marriage. It was God's word that declared for all ages, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." It was God who said unto the woman, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." It was Christ who said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she's put away, committeth adultery. It was the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, who wrote, "Unto the married I give charge, yea, not I, but the Lord, that the wife depart not from her husband, but should she depart, let her remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband leave not his wife." He further wrote, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." In a longer passage, the Apostle Paul said, "Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Because it's so easy to make mistakes in marriage, because marriage plays so major a role in the happiness of those involved, and because of the effect that marriage has upon one's eternal destiny, I'd like to suggest 7 important principles to be considered by young people as they approach marriage. But first, I should like to hear from our chorus. Listen with me as these young voices sing a favorite of many years' standing, "I'm Thine, O Lord, I Have Heard Thy Voice."
Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious pleading song.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me.
But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious pleading side.
A moment ago, I mentioned 7 important principles to be considered by young people as they approach marriage. Here's principle number 1. Carefully select the environment in which you will live during the late teens and early 20s. With only the rarest of exceptions, an occasional mail-order marriage or a computer-arranged marriage, everyone marries someone he knows. He usually marries someone with whom he goes to school or someone with whom he works. Now, since this is so universally true, it is wise for a young person to put himself in an environment during the years when marriage choices are normally made, where his associates will be other young persons who have the qualities that would make for a good marriage. By putting himself in such an environment, he takes a long first stride toward marital success. Principle number 2, thoroughly prepare for marriage. During recent years, I've had growing convictions that we who teach young people are not adequately preparing them for marriage. We need to place greater emphasis than we do upon certain important prerequisites to marriage. The young man needs to be given extensive training to enable him to earn a living and to prepare for the needs of his family. The young woman needs to be given extensive training in the skills that are required in the carrying on of a home. This means that her mother, or perhaps the school, or both, should carefully train her in the ability to cook, the ability to keep a house clean and neat, the ability to purchase economically, and the ability to repair clothing and the like. Without these skills, the young man and the young woman are not really prepared to enter marriage. More important is the internal preparation of attitude. It's extremely important that each young person who comes to marriage come with a deep, genuine, unselfish concern for the good of his or her marriage partner. In addition to physical attraction or romantic love, There must be a deeper, more permanent kind of love, an unselfish desire for the good of the other person. A young man dedicates himself as he takes the marriage vows to do all within his power to make the life of his bride as rich and happy and meaningful as he possibly can. And the bride similarly has the same responsibility to her husband. Only when there is this real, vital love for each other is a young couple ready to marry. Principle number 3, take time to marry. We're all familiar, I think, with the old adage, marry in haste, repent at leisure. Millions of people have come to know through the years of marital unhappiness the truth of this old familiar saying. Therefore, it's imperative that a couple know each other extremely well before entering marriage. Over a relatively long period of time, the couple should know each other in all kinds of different circumstances. There must be time for the discussion of an infinite variety of subjects, time for reaction to many different events, time for the couple to know their own real attitudes and feelings toward each other. At the same time, I would emphasize that overlong courtships are not wise. In this day of sex stimulation and music, on television and magazines and in the movies, long courtships place temptations and pressures upon the couple which can become dangerous. Ideally, it would seem that a couple ought to spend the better part of a year in serious courtship before entering marriage, though, of course, no arbitrary time can actually be set. A few weeks is obviously too brief a time. A few years is probably too long a time. Sometimes young people ask, at what age is it best to marry? Well, of course, no statistical solution can be found for this. It's a personal question that requires an individual answer. It should be determined by the maturity of the people involved, rather than by mere age alone. Principle number 4, marry someone with a background similar to your own. When two young people marry, they're going to spend endless hours together the rest of their lives. They'll eat literally thousands of meals together, go thousands of places together, and share an intimacy of relationship that exists with no other person on earth. In the process of living together, there will be several million decisions, some of slight significance and some of major importance, which they must make together. Now, this is the real tension spot in marriage. Even at best, it's not easy for two people to think alike and to see things alike. When their backgrounds are different, the complications are compounded. Therefore, it's extremely wise that young people try to find life partners whose backgrounds are as similar to their own as possible. Accordingly, it's significant that the young people be relatively of the same age, with the husband being a little older as the ideal situation. It's also desirable that they be of the same national background, so that they'll have some general habits of thinking and behavior that are as nearly alike as possible. Similarly, the racial background ought to be the same. When the racial line is crossed, it's extremely difficult for the couple themselves and for the families, and then more especially for the children, to fit into a dual racial situation. Now, this is not saying that one race is better than another. It is saying that marriage goes more smoothly when the races marry within themselves. It's also important that the educational, economic, and social background be as nearly alike as possible. It's unfortunate, particularly if the wife has a great deal more academic education than her husband, who's designated as head of the family in God's teachings. There can be serious problems if there's a wide disparity in economic background, especially if the bride has lived on a rather luxurious level, which her husband cannot continue to provide for. Still another area of major significance is the need for the couple to be united religiously, on which I shall speak again in a moment. The more one loves God, the more he will love his partner in marriage. This thought suggests the lovely hymn, My Task, which begins, to love someone more dearly every day.
This is my task, to love someone more dearly every day, to help a one wandering child to find his way.
Now, I direct your attention to principle number 5. Marry someone with similar ideals and goals. It's obvious that if a couple is to live together happily without friction, they must be going in the same direction. Only when they have similar ideals and life goals can they expect their marriage to be an ideal one. With the same ultimate goals, the same basic values, and the same general principles to guide them, the marriage offers great hope of being a happy experience. Principle number 6. Seek advice from thoughtful family and friends. In many parts of the world, the age-old custom is for parents to choose the child's marriage partner. Well, this is unthinkable to the American mind. Here, the pendulum swings to the opposite extreme. Many young people feel that they want to make their own choices without any help or advice from others. This, however, is unwise, for young people have never been over the road before and are not experienced in the making of this major kind of choice. A wise young person will seek advice and then make up his own mind. Principle number 7. In the New Testament we read, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." We also remember 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "A wife is bound for so long time as her husband liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is free to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." Both in Old Testament and New Testament times, God has been concerned that his people marry others of like faith. When a Christian marries a non-Christian, his loyalty and service to Christ usually suffer. When a young couple finds that there are differences of religious faith between them, my suggestion is that there needs to be a careful study of the Scriptures to determine what God's will is, and then both need to follow the Lord's teachings together. This needs to be done before marriage rather than after. Be united in Christ, and then be united with each other in marriage. To be forsaken by one who has promised to be faithful till death is one of life's bitterest experiences. Many have forsaken Christ. No man has ever been forsaken by the Lord. In bringing today's discussion to a close, Let me say that choosing a life partner is the second most important decision in a person's life. It's important because of the intimacy of the relationship, the potentials of happiness or of regret, and also because of the tremendous influence which a marriage has upon one's eternal destiny. For all these reasons, it's imperative to approach marriage with caution and careful concern. The most important decision in one's life is the decision to become a New Testament Christian. It's to the making of that decision that we call you now as we conclude this message. Our Lord pleads with you to come to Him in faith, to repent of your sins, making restitution for them as far as is humanly possible. And He would have you confess His name before your fellow men, that He might confess you before the Father in heaven. Our Lord would also have you to be baptized, buried in the likeness of His death, that you might be raised a new person in the likeness of His resurrection. I pray that you may obey the Savior's commands, that you might be added to His church, which is His holy bride. To all of you who are contemplating marriage, I pray the circumstances shall cause your marriage to be honorable in the sight of all men and holy in the sight of God, and that together, as husband and wife, you may serve your Lord as long as you both shall live. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
The message you have heard was the second in a series of discussions by Batzel Barrett Baxter dealing with the home and family, and was entitled Getting Ready for Marriage. A copy of Mr. Baxter's challenging message will be sent to you free on request. Send your card or letter to Mr. Baxter, Post Office Box 2001, Abilene, Texas, zip code 79604. Ask for program number 162. That's program 162. I'll repeat the address in just a moment. Well, now that fall is here, you can begin thinking in terms of long winter nights ahead, nights that are yours to waste or utilize. Why not devote a portion of your free time this fall and winter to a systematic study of the Bible? You can enroll now in a Bible correspondence course, which will come to you without cost or obligation. When you write for your copy of today's message, ask for program number 162. And then, when you write, be sure to enroll in a free Bible course. Write to Batzel Barrett Baxter, Post Office Box 2001, Abilene, Texas, zip 79604. Herald of Truth may be seen on television. Please check your local newspaper or TV guide for time and channel. Herald of Truth has been presented by Churches of Christ and interested individuals around the world and is produced by the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. Next week at this time, Batzel Barrett Baxter will bring you the third in this series of discussions relating to the home and family. His subject at that time will be What Makes a Marriage Work? Please plan to be with us. This is Brett Allison.